Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, I was reading a little commentary by a French author that applies to today's readings, but also applies to the readings of the last few days. This person writes, God resists our resistance. God resists our resistance by refusing to accept the barriers we set up in our hearts. Let me read that again. God resists our resistance by refusing to accept the barriers we set up in our hearts. This is true at the start of Jacob's combat that we've been reading from Genesis, and we're going to do that today. This is true at the start of Jacob's combat, yet once the breach has been made, God no longer tries to overcome our hardness by force, but rather by offering us the contact of his gentleness. He can resist us because we're going in the wrong direction. He can fight us. But once the breach has been made, once he's made contact with us, God no longer tries to overcome our hardness by force, but rather by offering us the contact of his gentleness that is utterly without defense. One example is in the gospel today, his heart was moved with pity because they were abandoned. God will contend with us. God will pray for us. God will reach out to us. And sometimes he has to apply a bit of force to get us to move in the right direction. But once that breach, as this writer says, has been made, then he comes to us with unutterable tenderness and gentleness. Trust him. I want you to know him. Not just know about him. I want you to know him. O God, who in the abasement of your Son have raised up a fallen world, fill your faithful with holy joy. For on those you have rescued from slavery to sin, you bestow eternal gladness. Look at those. Fill your faithful with holy joy. For on those you have rescued from slavery to sin, you bestow eternal gladness. God's trying to rescue us from slavery to sin. And we resist it because we like our ways. We are trying to be good, but we want to have a little bit of things the way we want to have them, and God won't have it. But to those he has rescued from slavery to sin, we experience his tenderness and his gentleness, and we have eternal gladness. It's the paradox, brothers and sisters, but it's really true. It's really true. So we look at Genesis chapter 32, verses 23 to 33. In the course of the night, Jacob arose, took his two wives, his two maidservants, his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had taken them across the stream and had brought over all his possessions, Jacob was left there alone. And then some man wrestled with him until the break of dawn. The angel of God, God wrestling with him. Jacob wants to do some things his way. God wants him to submit to him. When the man saw that he could not prevail over him, he struck Jacob's hip at its socket so that the hip socket was wrenched as they wrestled. The man then said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked, "What is your name?" This was an angel from God. And he answered, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be spoken of as Jacob, but as Israel, because you have contended with divine and human beings and have prevailed." And Jacob then asked him, "Do tell me your name, please." And he answered, "Why should you want to know my name?" With that, he bade him farewell. Jacob named the place Peniel, "Because I have seen God face to face," he said, "yet my life has been spared." What he saw was an angel who wrestled with him. Jacob would have won, except the angel wrenched his hip. What God's trying to do is get us to look at him and to believe in him. Sometimes things come at us that we have to wrestle with and we're wounded by. In the midst of all that, trust him. He's leading you to himself. At sunrise, as he left Peniel, Jacob limped along because of his hip. And that is why to this day the children of Israel do not eat the sciatic muscle that is on the hip socket, inasmuch as Jacob's hip socket was struck at the sciatic muscle. This is a place to be venerated, because in a certain sense, Jacob wrestled with the divine and he became God's servant. May you and I be willing to do the same. In justice, I shall behold your face, O Lord. In justice, hear, O Lord, a just suit. Attend to my outcry. Hearken to my prayer from lips without deceit. From you, let my judgment come. We want God to judge us because we know it will be right and just. Your eyes behold what is right. Though you test my heart, searching it in the night, though you try me with fire, you shall find no malice in me. Would God find malice in you? I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me, hear my word. Show your wondrous mercies, O Savior of those who flee from their foes. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. I in justice shall behold your face. On waking, I shall be content in your presence. Brothers and sisters, let Psalm 17 become your prayer. Test my heart, Lord. Search for it. Try me with fire. You won't find malice in me. I want you, and I want to follow you all the days of my life. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Protect me. Protect me and help me. Let that be your prayer. And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 32 to 38. A demoniac who could not speak was brought to Jesus, and when the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds were amazed, and they said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." And they're overjoyed. They're thrilled that God has set this man free. He was mute. Couldn't speak at all. But look what the Pharisees do. He drives out demons by the prince of demons. In other words, he works with the devil. He's from the devil. See, they can't. Pride won't allow them to admit that Jesus may well be the Messiah, because that would turn their life, their ministry, their jobs upside down and inside out. They were the important people. Everyone came to them, the Pharisees, to understand the law and to interpret the law. And they see Jesus as a threat. And he is. But the crowds were amazed. And that makes the Pharisees even more nervous. He drives out demons by the prince of demons. In other words, he's of the devil. Don't pay any attention to him. Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. Curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. God looks on us with great tenderness and gentleness. Sometimes he becomes very strong. Sometimes his anger shows because we're refusing. We want to go our own way, thank you very much. And he knows, like any good parent, he knows that if we go down path X that we think is just perfect, may lead us into hell. You think of children, just think of children for a moment and how they look, they see something and it's glowing. It's glowing. Maybe it's a pot on the stove. Maybe it's a tea kettle. Maybe it's, who knows what it might be, but it's something that glows, something that attracts the child. And what does the child instantly do? Reaches out to grab. And a parent doesn't stand at a distance and say, oh dear, don't do that. Come and they grab the child. They grab his arm to get him away. Sometimes God has to do that to us. Because we're reaching out for what's wrong. It attracts us, but it's not going to lead us to heaven. We have a shepherd who is kind, is constantly watching over us every second and tries to guide us in the right direction. Sometimes we just ignore him and go our own way and then wonder why things are so bad or difficult. And sometimes the first times we do those things, whatever they may be, but they're not God's will, we do them, and it's just great. It's just great. I knew this would be great. I knew this was right. I don't need to listen to God. I don't need to listen to the people who are warning me. This is great. Well, you talk to them a year or two down the road when they've gone their own way, and you see sadness, depression, anger, terrible anger, because they were duped. Brothers and sisters, we want to follow the Lord. We want to follow him wherever he goes. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. If we don't follow the good shepherd, brothers and sisters, we're on our own. We're on our own. If we reject the good shepherd, who are we going to take up with? And some people say, I'll just take care of myself, thank you. I don't need anybody. That doesn't work that way. Not eternally, it doesn't work that way. Not from a spiritual dimension. Because if God is not leading your life, then the devil is. There's no middle ground for very long. If God is not leading your life, you're subject to the enemy. And the fruit will not be good. But at the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. Relatively very few of us who say, Lord, we want to do your will. May there be people listening to this program today who say, Lord, I don't want the way of the devil. I want to follow you. There's no middle ground on this one. There really isn't. If you say, well, I'm not going to make my allegiance to anybody. I'm going to stay in the middle. I'm not going to have anybody. It won't last. It won't last. You'll be drawn by the enemy into his camp. As sure as I am speaking to you now, that's what will happen. You have to make a choice. And I beg that you will make a choice for Jesus and for the kingdom, because the laborers in his vineyard are few. We need you, that we may bring many, many people the good news, and that they might find love in Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.